The sixth article to the People's Bill of Rights. In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law, and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, and to be confronted with the witnesses against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense. And we're getting into the real process. This is our common law. I mean, this is our common law process that we're guaranteed that we are denied every day, that has been removed by the War Powers Act, along with our courts and our jurisdiction, which the people's jurisdiction is a superior jurisdiction because it's our country. In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial. We've seen, some trials are public and some are not quite so public, but the bottom line is a speedy trial. I mean, you look at the, Henry, not the Hammonds, but the, Bundys being held. I mean, how long have they been held without their public trial? And now they're wanting to postpone that trial even further down into the fall to accommodate other trials because they haven't gotten a conviction yet. This is not the common law, and the process they're offering has nothing to do with the common law. It is the admiralty. It is military law. And those people are being held as political prisoners, and they're being persecuted, not prosecuted, because the fact is they committed no crimes. There is no federal jurisdiction where they're at, that they're being held under, an illegal jurisdiction that was never supposed to get outside that 10-mile square known as Washington, D.C. So they are being denied their right to speedy trial, a public trial. They'll allow certain people in a public trial, the trials that are supposed to be in the common law. It would be, anybody could walk in there. Everybody should walk in there. Everybody wants to see what's going on to make sure that the justice is being served. Anybody who wanted to walk up with and discuss jury nullification with any of the jurors, well, of course they can. That's a part of your first article, right to freedom of speech, which is being denied every day. We've seen people jailed for merely trying to inform the juries of their right to nullify illegal laws. By an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, before we ever get to this stage, we would have went through the fourth article process of obtaining a warrant. There would have been affidavits sworn out, and that information would have been taken to a grand jury. The grand jury, unswayed by it, well, it's kind of hard to talk. I mean, it's apples and oranges. You got a district attorney in there calling together a grand jury. That is not a grand jury. It cannot be. It is not in the jurisdiction of the common law, or else a state actor could not be present inside the jury room. It would be to the sheriff to have called the grand jury, and then the grand jury takes the notes, which would be the affidavits, the sworn affidavits and the complaint, and they investigate it. They could call any witness they want. We've talked about this yesterday with the procedural due process guaranteed under the fifth article. And they would investigate the allegation, in this case a crime. None of this would fall into play when we get down to the seventh, I believe it's the seventh or the eighth, where we're guaranteed in all civil cases to have a trial by the jury in all civil cases where the amount is more than $20. Of course, they've decided that that's $250 without authority to change it whatsoever. I mean, that would have took you couldn't have done it because you can't change the Bill of Rights. At any rate, the right to the trial by the jury, what we're talking about here is the common law we're guaranteed that we're being denied. And if any aspect of these procedures is denied to a litigant, there is no common law jurisdiction, there is no common law court, and the court is completely illegitimate because, as we discussed previously, the admiralty only applies to people in the military and government employees. And that we're not. The government is apart from the people. We are separate. We have our own body of law. That's why we're called a self-governing people. We govern ourselves literally. And when you see people like Obama, come up on the stage and talk about our self-governance being something about these national elections, that ain't it, people. I'm here to tell you that has nothing to do with it. The vote, I guess, on the board of directors and that's what you really have since the Civil War. You have a board of directors because the Constitution was usurped. It was changed without authority again to do so because it would have been a violation of the Ninth Article of our People's Bill of Rights. And we're stuck with what we have today, but we have to know what we're supposed to have. We have to know who we are. And that's really what it comes down to, is each one of us knowing who we are across this nation. We're not citizens, and we're not subjects. We are American nationals. We are the sovereigns of this country. We are on a par with the crown heads of Europe. We bend the knee to no one. There is no one that governs us. And that's where people get the misconception. It's our government. Surely they govern us. No, that is not what we hired a government to do. We hired a government to take care of a few issues that we could not take care of as individuals, because we'd be acting in coalition with foreign governments, foreign countries, and foreign commerce. So we hired a bunch of lackeys, is really what it comes down to. The president's no more than a glorified clerk. He's there to sign papers because all of us can't get in a room and sign a paper. He's our representative in issues that happen beyond where the tide ebbs and flows. That's where his jurisdiction is, there in that citadel known as Washington, D.C. That's where the authority ends. It was never meant to be put out here and made a instrument of tyranny over our people, but it has. And we have to realize it, and to realize it, we have to understand who we are to see how they're treating us, and they're not treating us as they should be treating us, considering who we are. We are free, each one of us, individuals with these inalienable rights, and we were up to, shall have been, you know, determining the jurisdiction, of course, where this would have happened, and an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed. Well, that would be, this is how you get your jury of your peers. I mean, we've seen case law being brought in under the Admiralty administrative jurisdictions. And this is one of the things that was to this particular article was to protect us from. Because if you're guaranteed a jury of your peers, if they use case law from something to say, I'm here in Oregon and something happened in Alabama, and they're going to bring a final judgment from a jury, and even in Alabama, that is not my peers. My peers are right here where I live. And this is, it was all supposed to be kept local, because the local jurisdiction, I mean, right here where I'm at, the justice court, if it was in place here, that would be the superior court. Higher than any state Supreme Court, higher than any government court. That's what has to be understood. Their courts are inferior courts. They have no jurisdiction over us. And what they're doing is instrumenting a occupation into our country, and they're tyrannizing us right as we speak. And to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusations. This is where we get into the state charging you for things. There's no victim. When you violate a statute, I mean, if it was murder, of course there would be a victim, but they do not have the authority to prosecute an American national, once again, because they can only operate in the Admiralty jurisdiction. And we, as a free people, are guaranteed the common law jurisdiction, which is to say you're not going to get away with murder. You're just going to be prosecuted by another American national, and you're going to get a more just verdict right in the area where, if there was a crime committed, everybody's going to look at it a little different when it happened right here in your town, in your city, in your county, in your state. You're going to have a little bit different attitude on a murder, a rape, pedophiles. I mean, the things we see just going rampant in this country right now would not be existing, because each one of us is a prosecutor. Each one has the authority to prosecute another American national. We're the only ones that do. These government actors do not. I mean, the government actors say he works at the State Department. He's a junior analyst at the State Department. He can still prosecute in the common law, but not as a government agent. He has to come in as an American national, as a litigant in the exercising his common law jurisdiction, and his part in the running of the government can never come into play. You can never use any government rules or regulations or policies to move an action in a common law court, because it's of a completely different jurisdiction, and it's of a superior jurisdiction. But if that person had an injury, You were working for the government. Somebody stole from you. Somebody committed a civil crime against you. You can sure enough prosecute it, but you're not prosecuting. You don't come in a superior position, which could have never existed if they are our servants. As I work at the State Department, and I'm coming in here as a State Department, and with all the money of the state behind me to try and destroy this person. That just isn't how it works. That would be operating under color of law. The response would be that you're operating under color of law, and I'm suing you right back. I'm going to take everything you got for trying to bring in a government authority over me that you cannot bring, because it is a violation of the Bill of Rights, particularly. In particular, the Ninth Article. It says, no power can be created that denies the rights. And what are the rights? They are the procedures. They are the maximums in the First Article. And the Second Article and the Third Article, and then you go into the procedures in the Fourth Article, Fifth Article, Sixth Article, Seventh Article, and Eighth Article. I mean, that is your total of your common law, and every American should know it and understand it and insist upon it, but we have to be realistic before we're ever going to get it back. The people who are occupying us are not just going to leave because we found them out and because we can identify their crimes. They are going to have to be shot out of this country, make no mistake about it. It's going to take a bloody-ass war because it was neglected too long. Our great-grandfathers in 1933, you know, when they took our gold away from us and told us we couldn't own gold, that's when they told us we couldn't own property, hence we were no longer American nationals. That's when it occurred. And right then and there, it was plugged in right after the Civil War, but this is when they made their move. And when they made that move, the nation should have turned against them, should have went to Washington, D.C. and hung them all. Hung every local that was going along with it, should have hung all the traitors right then and there. It would have been a really little small, teeny tiny mess to clean up compared to what we got to clean up now. But they didn't, and so here we are today. And knowing our Bill of Rights, and when we make our stand, if we make our stand together on the Bill of Rights, there's no argument over what this is about. There's no argument in the world when other nations are looking at us, when we finally rise up to take this country back. And other nations are looking at us. They're going to see, it's like in the Civil War, but the truth being that the South was not trying to enforce slavery. They were trying to enforce the Bill of Rights. And it was the North who wanted that Bill of Rights destroyed. So they attacked the South. You can say that the South fired on Fort Sumter, but man, they told those guys to vacate. That you are an invading force once the South withdrew from the Union, seceded from the Union, then those were hostile forces. They were foreign forces on their soil, and they had a right to tell them to go. They wouldn't go because they were not going to honor the terms of the contract, the original contract, which said the states could secede. So the people were, you know, brought into it. You asked the Southern man back then there were people who held slaves, but they were the few and the far in between. Most people worked on farms, had their own farms, and, you know, made their own way in life, and it did pretty good until the carpetbaggers from the North started coming in, and they just wanted more of the wealth from the South to feed their international machine that they were building in New York and Washington, D.C. And so you had the fight. But the fight was, I've talked about this before. I know, just in the history I've read, I know the writs were being served. And this is where we're going to have to come to today or tomorrow or the next day when we finally face up to this and have to take care of it. To make sure that everything's, all our I's are dotted and our T's are crossed, and there's no misconception about why the people are rising up. They're not a bunch of anti-government terrorists. No, they're a bunch of American nationals, and they're coming to take their country back. You have violated the terms of the contract. You have set up a rogue foreign government, and you have brought foreign nationals into the highest seats of power in this country. This country is being run by a foreign king, by several foreign kings, by the international corporate mafia. And we're going to put that down on paper. And we're going to, the way we justify what we do is by putting our Bill of Rights. This is our law. This is the common law. This is the people's law. This is what we agreed on 240 years ago. This is how we're going to live. And the government's going to be a part of from us, and they're going to leave us alone, and they're not going to eat out our substance, and they're not going to make us subservient to them. And once we lay out what our law is supposed to be, we can show how it's been subverted. And that is the word, subversion. We have been subverted. Our Bill of Rights, which is our common law, which is the people's authority, has been subverted. And if that's the cause for the war, there can, I mean, what nation could come against a people who just want their free natural rights? I mean, they'd like to have it be fascism, you know, the bad fascist versus the bad communist, or the good communist versus the bad fascist, good, a game. So that, I mean, just like after the Civil War, after they had diluted and actually changed through lies and fraud what the war was about. I mean, at Gettysburg, that was the first time the race card was played. It wasn't about slavery in that sense. It was about slavery in a sense, because the people in the South surely didn't want the new territory settled in slavery, because in the North didn't want the new territory settled in slavery, because they were working people. They worked in factories. They were working by the hour. They worked for a wage, and they didn't want to compete with a slave wage like we're competing with China now that we've been brought on. You know, I mean, that's one thing people should see, is that we've been brought into the same situation on a world stage. I mean, you take China and India, or South Korea or North Korea, these slave states where, the labor is forced labor. And, they give them a bowl of rice. They decide what they're going to get for their labor. They can't have a free thought. And these people are essentially the same as the slaves in the South were. Now, when they got rid of what they, well, when they made their attempt, when they declared that we had no sovereignty no more, everything is just you're a one world citizen and we're the world. Well, then I'm competing in a world where slavery is the way some countries are run. Just like some states in the old Union, in the Confederate, before the, when the, after the Revolutionary War, the Union that was put together, there were slave states and there were free states. And then you cannot have that. You cannot have any discrepancy in the law. And that's really, that was another attack on the Bill of Rights, because either it's absolute. I mean, when you say that this is for all the people, it's for all the people. It has to be. If you make an exception, say, well, it's for everybody but the black people, well, then you've made an exception. Then we can say, well, it's for everybody but the black people and short people. We can say it's for, I mean, once you've made an exception, you've headed down that road. And we were well into it, I mean, from the get-go, like I said, from the inception. I don't believe that the same people who wrote the Declaration of Independence wrote the Constitution, though they were instrumental in the ideas that came into the Bill of Rights. Because the Declaration of Independence declares all men to be equal, born equal. Yet, at the time, their slaves were held, and it wasn't just black slaves, it was white slaves, it was brown slaves, it was yellow slaves. There were slaves being held. At the same time that these people were declaring it, that gives you a little hint that they weren't declaring it for real, well, everybody, now were they? And then when you say they weren't declaring it for everybody, then you got to start looking back and saying, who weren't they declaring these natural rights for? And you come up with, well, there was the blacks, there was the women, there were Indians. I mean, from the inception of the Declaration of Independence, I mean, from the people that wrote it, these were aristocrats. Now, when the Bill of Rights was attached to the Constitution, if it had been enforced as the absolute law intended for every American national, we certainly wouldn't be in this mess we're in, people. We'd be happy. We'd be enjoying the fruits of our labor in our land that belongs to us. But we've allowed it to be just chipped away and chiseled away and chipped away, and we played into it. I mean, when we go race against race, when we go gender against gender, when we go age against age, we're playing right into it, because we're creating our own exceptions to the rule. And the rule is that this law has to be absolute. If it is not absolute, then there's an exception. It's not inalienable. It can be changed. It can be interpreted differently than it is written as in true fact. Back to the sixth article. To be confirmed.
Hey, Henry.
Yes, sir.
Hey, this is Dion. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. How are you today, sir?
I'm doing quite well. You know what? And you're so right about everything you just said, man. You know, I was having this conversation this weekend with a couple of people. And I was trying to tell them, how you are not a slave. I don't care if they take 1 cent or $100 out of your check. If you didn't work for it and they took it, if I didn't work for something, and, you know, and I said, hey, you owe me a certain amount of your check just because I say so. I said, how is that not slavery? You didn't work for it.
Well, that was the whole reason behind the Bill of Rights. It's about the Bill of Rights. I'm going to tell you people in plain English, it's about property rights, absolute property rights right down to your person as that property. And if anybody can take your property outside of these rules that are set down here without just cause, then you are. You're a slave to them. This is how slaves are created.
Yeah.
Through the removal of the rights. And
I try to tell people that all the time. I say, man, if you go to work and no matter if they take 100%, no matter if they take 1% of your check, what gives them the authority to take something out of our check that we have worked for? I say, if you and I, we did that, if we walk up to a person and say, hey, I want 20% every time you get paid, they'll call it, racketeering and extortion and all that old crap. But, it's okay for, this crooked government to do that to us.
Again, you're making the point. When we do have to rise up against this, this is the point we have to make. The point is that our Bill of Rights, this is what we, the people, granted to one another. It tells us straight up that there's only one way that our property can be removed. And here's the procedure you have to follow. And it has to be American national doing it. A government can't do this. We never empowered a government that could take anything from us. It's insane to think otherwise. It was a limited government for a few limited purposes with limited power. And look at the monster it has grown into. But we can just show that right there. I mean, you're coming and you're taking this money. And you say it's voluntary. But if we dare not to volunteer, well, we get killed. You send a SWAT team. You take our properties away from us, all of our property. Hell, you stop us on the side of the road and with asset forfeiture. And you just take our property. Where's my due process here? It's gone. You did not follow this procedures in the Bill of Rights. So you violated you violated the people who give you the power. When you do that, you're illegitimate. You're rogue. And it is an occupation. We have to realize it's an occupation. And we got to quit settling for compromise. Just like Dion was talking about, they took 30% of your wages. Well, I'll give you 5% back. Well, that's a very good deal for us. I guess we should just waive the rights. And that's what's been going on for far too long, people. That's why we're in this mess we're in. It's a power structure that was constructed from its roots, it was duplicity. It was lies. And when you give the people a lot of goodies with the lies for so many years, then they get to where they accept the goodies and the lies, and then they start pulling the goodies back, and all you're left with is the lies. We were on the sixth article. We were to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor and to have the assistance of counsel for defense. Now, the compulsory process, again, being denied, well, because it is in the admiralty, illegal jurisdiction, the Bundys there in Las Vegas are being persecuted under a foreign jurisdiction in direct violation of their rights under our People's Bill of Rights and under the common law. We've read the articles where the judge, who has no authority to do so, decided that they could only have 3 witnesses. The government could have, 20, 30, whatever the government decided. And, of course, this is the way it's going to be in a military dictatorship. It's going to be pretty one-sided. But in the common law, our law, the superior jurisdiction of this country, we are guaranteed our compulsory process, which is to say, I can bring anybody for a witness. And it's not to the judge or, let's go to the counsel. Assistance of counsel, what's that mean? That does not mean an attorney that takes over your person inside these admiralty courts. That's a piece of trash. He can sign a piece of paper and send you straight to prison on his signature, because what you're doing is turning over your power of attorney to one of the enemy, because he's an officer of that admiralty court. And he's under the direction of that robed pirate that sits on the bench. His first obligation is to the court, which is that robed pirate and his private court, because these are private courts. And so the compulsory process, like I said, the Bundys are being denied their witnesses. But here again, this shows you how far down the tube we've gone. This shows you that the only way back is a fight. the assistance of counsel. You know, at the point when they started taking the witnesses or saying they couldn't have their witnesses there in Las Vegas. Now, if it in our jurisdiction, the superior jurisdiction of this country, it would be the great writ. And I know that probably people have talked to the Bundys and they know about the writs, the writ of habeas corpus, the writ of mandamus, the writ of satira. And they may have said, well, we're being denied our right under the sixth article for compulsory process in obtaining our witnesses. We want a writ of mandamus, an order to the court to allow us our witnesses, to allow us our sixth article right. But then they'll say, well, you're not in a common law court. And you're not, because the War Powers Act has removed our courts. They've removed the common law. They've removed our jurisdiction. But, and they'll tell you that those writs are no good because you can't file them into these courts. Bullshit. That is a lie. That is an absolute lie. You can file a writ of mandamus with the sheriff or any public official. It is an order to obey the law. It's that simple. That's what a writ of mandamus is. Now, the writ of habeas corpus is, of course, produce the corpse, which we talked about yesterday, which is produce the evidence, produce the true indictment, the reason I'm here. And it better be a real reason, and it better be stamped by a jury of my peers that was a common law jury, not with a district attorney working for the state, an entity that is prosecuting me. This is why they had to try to make corporations, in their Black's Law, in their Bouvier's, and then define a corporation as a person. It cannot be. And, I mean, that falls in the face of common sense. A person is a living entity, and no corporation is a living entity. It is a piece of paper. It is a way that these globalists and usurpers into our country have, we talked about it before. I said, told you, if I'm standing out there by 1,000 men and they're all the richest people in this country, I'm equal to each and every one of them or all of them together. But what they've tried to do with the corporation is pool power through collectivism. Communism, by any other word, is collectivism. And so they've tried to pool their power to make these powerful entities made up of individuals with one guy at the helm welding the power. And then they try to call them a person. They are not a person. A corporation stays as far below me as that government does. If that government creates a corporation under its authority, I mean, it would have to be under the Commerce Clause that they started this whole shitting thing. Because if you wanted to do business in the United States under the common law, we could contract with one another. And our contracts were superior to any government contract. And we've talked about the fact that they try to think that they can make agents out of us and bring us into their courts, like the Bundys are being done, because, well, you got a fishing license, you got a driver's license, you signed a contract. Well, the bottom line is the ninth article forbids the government to create any contract that removes my rights. They just can't do it, is what it comes down to. And they can't deny compulsory process under the common law. So what's happening in Las Vegas and what happened in Portland and what's happening all over this nation is blatant violations of the sixth article when these judges are declaring what evidence will be allowed and what evidence the jury will be allowed to see. We've seen many instances where juries have acquitted the police or convicted people that shouldn't have been convicted. And you ask, how did that happen? And they finally get around to talking to the jurors and you'll see it. Well, we were never privy to any of that information. Of course you weren't, because that son of a bitch sitting on the bench there, he's going to be the only juror in the room and he's going to tell the rest of you what to do. You have a right to nullify. This is how the final check and balance for the people. We could nullify anything. I don't care what the instance was. We saw an unjust law being enforced. I mean, we should have never even seen these laws. This is why it's so hard to talk about, because they were never to legislate. We talked about it before, like on a local level at a municipality, you might want to say that we don't want people trashing up the street. So we're going to pass a local ordinance, and I told you people before, it's like a tip jar in a bar, a swear jar. So you swear you're going to put a quarter in, it's to keep the place cleaned up. And everybody agrees on it, stupidly, because it should be just plain and simple. If somebody throws some trash down, you tell them to pick it up. Why? Because you're fouling where I live. And I mean, any single person could prosecute you. You don't need no police forces to go out and enforce policies, because that's all it is policy. There is no law. The only thing that the government could ever project at us is policy, which is inferior to law. We live under law. the Bill of Rights and the procedures, the common law, and the jurisdiction therein. And so it's like I said, it's really hard to take. It's gone so far. If it hadn't gone so far, it'd be easy to talk about. I mean, if the Bundys filed the writ of mandamus into that court up there, they could do it. I'm telling you right now, they could. And that pettifogging attorney of theirs knows they could, but he's just another officer on that ship. And the captain's that fellow or woman or man in a dress. It's hard to tell. Transvestite. They probably don't even know what bathroom to go into. But that is the captain of that ship. And out on the high seas, the captain, that is law. It's called the law of gavel. I mean, once the gavel falls and that captain makes a declaration, I don't care. They can sentence you to death arbitrarily. And this is where they would like to be, because at some point in the ballgame, they have to eliminate the people who have a legal claim to this property they have stolen, embezzled upon, our resources. It belongs to us, and we can prove it. What proves it? Bill of Rights. The Bill of Rights saying, it says that all of this shit you've taken from me, you didn't follow these procedures, so it's all a fraud. It all still belongs to me. I have the right to retrieve my property. I have the right to prosecute those who stole it from me. It all comes back to the Bill of Rights. All of our reasoning has to come back to the Bill of Rights. Think about it. Take the illegal aliens as, you know, when Obama stood up there and claimed by executive dictate, oh, I'm going to give amnesty to these 11 million people, more than the population of the state I live in. How much of what belongs to you and I did that bastard assume that he could just give away to another people from another country? We lost property, people. Did we do it through these procedures we've been talking about? Or did somebody take them outside of those procedures, which would have made it against the law, which would have made it an act of fraud, which makes it illegitimate, which gives us the right to retrieve it and punish the people who tried to steal it from us? They know this. That's why they've got 1.4 billion rounds of hollow point ammunition. They have to eliminate us as the threat we are to them. And again, you know, going back to, you know, trying to get us to go at each other over any cause, race, religion, whatever it might be. They have to. They fear us. If we ever come together and understand what we're just, this simple thing we're putting together here for children, and it is easy enough for any child to understand. And if everybody understood it at once, but, you know, understanding it, I mean, being able to read it and understand it and saying, man, that's my conviction. That is my birthright, and I'm not compromising it for anyone. That's the point we have to reach. And then the people who are out there, you know, chasing blue wipers and listening to carnival barkers and, well, dude, give this a try. We got to give them a chance. No, give them a chance. They've raped you. They've murdered your people. They've stolen from you. We got to give them a chance. When the day comes, I mean, there's one of two ways this whole thing's going to kick off. It's going to be a move for the guns, a draconian. It'll have to be vicious when they do it. They know that. If they come for the guns, they're going to try to be brutal, like the British did in Lexington and Concord. They're going to do something real brutal and scare everybody. That's going to kick it off. Or we're going to reach the point to where everybody just says, you know, this is what's right. This is what we're guaranteed. We're either going to have this or we're going to be slaves. And you, my neighbor, I see hear anything to the contrary come out of your mouth, I'm labeling you the traitor you are, and I will see you prosecuted when this whole thing is over with. You are aiding and abetting the enemies of our Bill of Rights, knowingly at this point. I mean, there's a lot of people out there trying to make excuses and you know, we have the right to advocate for Trump. No, you don't. You do not have that right. You do not have a right to aid an enemy to our people in any way, to speak good of them in any way. They are our enemy. They're either our enemy or they're your friend. Which is it? And I might be sitting out here in Oregon on the West Coast, but I guarantee you there's people who think like me, who understand, and there are more people every day. And it's going to be from sea to shining sea and everywhere in between. And I mean, you look at how they used political correctness to destroy us, made us afraid to call a queer a queer, or a pedophile a pedophile. you got to understand. No, I don't. I'm the damn authority here. You better understand something. But look how they used it. Peer pressure. I've never succumbed to peer pressure. I've always met it head on and shouted it down or removed it, hit it, whatever I had to do. But people have. People, look what people have accepted. Go out there. I mean, the footage that the communists put up every day. Look at what we have accepted. We've come to the point, well, these people invading our country, they have constitutional rights. No, they don't. Until we're ready to say, no, they don't, and mean it, and back it up, it's not going to change. Nothing's going to happen unless they attack. It's going to be a defensive posture. Unless the people can just see that every day that you wait, it's more of us going to die to get her done. I mean, we'll lose, a couple of million. You think about 2 million people. I predict we lose 2 million in the onslaught if it started today. If they came to confiscate today, we would lose 2 million in the initial onslaught. Maybe another 500,000 to 1 million in FEMA camps that just walk in because they told them to. They told me to charge that machine gun, yes, sir. But they'd walk right into the FEMA camps. But that's nothing compared to our numbers, who we are. And by the time we lose that 1 or 2 million, we will have gone through on-the-job training at guerrilla tactics in the hardest way imaginable. But the people who come out the other side of that, man, are they going to be some badass people? And they're going to be looking for some hair to take, some revenge. Why? Because that 1 to 2 million people that got killed, that was their relatives. And they're going to be wanting a justice that the people who are going to be come after are going to wish that a Bill of Rights existed. And woe be it to anyone who tries to stop them. I mean, you could have trained all your life and trained up to the day that it all started. When them people come through that trial of fire, the people who make it to the other side aren't going to be children. They're going to be the baddest of the bad. They would have had to build it all in the middle of a fight. And they would have had to get to the point to where they turned the tide. And they're going to be... Right? Yes, sir.
So the judges don't get a jury of their peers?
You mean when the people turn loose on it? Well, there ain't nothing I could stop. I mean, if somebody killed your daughter, Charlie... Would you? I mean,
no,
would
I'm
you?
Not arguing. I'm not arguing. I don't want
that. I don't see it. I mean, if you standing by that enemy flag, if you've operated with the enemy, you're the enemy, and the trials wouldn't start until the war was over anyway. It'd just be open warfare.
Amen.
Yeah, it's a sad situation. It's a hell of a thing to think of, but it's what it is, man. It's reality. We have to face reality, and every day, I'll say it again, every day that we wait is more of our people that are going to be killed because you allow them to entrench further, you allow them to figure the angles further, you allow them to move people into position more, you allow them to bring more illegal aliens from El Salvador that'll shoot American nationals, and you talk about no trial, you wait till this shit goes down. You'll have execution squads of foreigners who don't even speak your language being directed by one traitor. That's what you're going to be facing.
Hey, Henry.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, this is Dion again. Hey, you know what I thought about, man? You know, I talked to so many people who are so brainwashed. I think these SOBs are going to turn on us. That's what I think about it, man. I really do. I really do think they really are going to turn on us because, man, as I talk to some people, it's like they're either scared or they, you know, just brainwashed. They think the government is supposed to be, you know what I'm saying, ruling and reigning on us instead of the government being subject to us and at the bottom of our feet.
Exactly. Well, yeah, of course they are. I mean, we've seen it with the ones, you know, they come out, here's your militia, the 3 percenters and the Oath Keepers, really. No, these people here are made up of ex-FBI, ex-ATF, and ex-cops, you know, ex-military. And if you went up to one of them and started talking about the Bill of Rights, they do just like you said there, Dion. It would be like, oh, no, that's the government. I mean, and they will. That's the Tory militia, and we will face them. There's no doubt about it. It's the sooner we realize that who the Tories are and who the American nationals who are going to stand up and fight this battle are, and we draw the line. And then there's no more games to be played. I mean, and if the Bill of Rights is the best way to do it, because the Bill of Rights is the self-governance that we are guaranteed. If we stand on that, who, you know, you step in, if you had a crowd of people, you step across that line. Who stands with the Bill of Rights in our self-governance? Step over the line. Okay, we got this shit sorted out, because everybody else is an enemy, I promise you. And I'm telling you, the majority of the people, I mean, they'll show you hordes of communists and even out there waving a flag, and not a damn one of them could tell you even what communism is. But they're the communists. And they'll show you the national socialists out there, you know, the Trumpers, you know, out there. Yeah, America great, America, you know, conquer, destroy, and deny the people their rights. But if you could take any rational, logical thinking person, and you lay out the self-governance in the Bill of Rights, you lay out communism, you lay out fascism, I'm telling you what, they're going to pick, unless you're one of the ones who think you're going to be in the privileged ruling class, that you're going to get a lord over everybody else, you're going to pick that Bill of Rights. If you're a person who just wants to live and leave people alone and let them leave you alone, you're going to pick that Bill of Rights. If you're a person who just wants to live in peace, you're going to pick that Bill of Rights. Communism, in definition, is slavery. Just like Dion was talking earlier, they're taking what is yours. You don't own anything. In communism, the fascism is slavery, because it's an industrial state where a handful own everything and everybody else gets to be a workforce. And you talk about control over your life. You never own anything that they can't take from you. Just like that's what we have right now with the communists infiltrated into it. It's a mess. There's no two ways about
it. Hey, Aaron.
Yes, sir.
You know, I mean, this is another thing that, you know, that truly bothers me. Like you say, with these Trumpers, they sit around here, yeah, let's make America great again. And I try to tell these idiots, I say, America wasn't great. The principles that America was founded on wasn't great because of government. You know, I've listened to one of your old broadcasts, and it's like exactly what you said. You know, these SOBs, they sit around here, and, you know, they come and take over stuff that you have invented. Like you were saying about the radio and the TV, I listened to one of your broadcasts, and these people who made stuff in garages, and these SOBs come in here, now we're going to put, you know, FAA on this, and we're going to regulate this for you. These people did not even invent it. They just come in and take over. It wasn't government that made America great. It was the individual people like you and I who made America great. You understand what I'm saying? Things that we have done. Not anything that government done, because government is nothing but a parasite and a leech.
Oh,
that's all that it is.
Oh, absolutely, and you're absolutely correct. And if they can take your work product and make it their own, you're a slave. It's what we've been talking straight down through here. The people who, you know, the FCC that took over broadcasting, you know, the people that, I mean, in the garages, like you were saying, had reached the point of TV broadcast. And when the international war complex and the international Zionist mafia, it seized it all. They did. They seized it all. Just like they've seized the internet. They didn't create the internet. Al Gore didn't create the internet. The people created the internet. And now they've seized it and turned it over to China. And now they're talking on a world stage, we got to regulate that. That's a danger. The internet will ultimately be their downfall. The fact that it was there, even if they remove it, it's too late. Too many people know. And there's too much information out there. Anyways, guys, we have made it to the top of the hour. We will be back tomorrow at 12 Pacific, 3 Eastern, for another broadcast of The Word from the Trenches on PBFTT. And until then, just keep reading that Bill of Rights, and we'll keep explaining it the best we can. And even after we get past the 10 articles, we're going to look back. We're going to look at a couple more that they've put up, that like the 14th and the 11th and 12th, and we're going to see how they stand up to the muster of the 9th article.